Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Amber Enterprises India Limited Q1 FY23 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Jasbir Singh, Chairman and CEO of Amber Enterprises India Limited. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Singh.
Hello and good morning, everyone. First and foremost, I hope you all are keeping safe and healthy. On the call, I'm joined by Mr. Diljit Singh, Managing Director, Mr. Sudhir Goyal, CFO, Mr. Sanjay Arora, CEO, Electronics Division, and Mr. Sachin Gupta, CEO, RAC and CAC Division, and our SGA, our Investor Relations Advisors. We have uploaded our result presentation on the exchanges, and I hope everybody had an opportunity to go through the same. The first half of the year was very good for the air conditioner industry. Amid scorching heat this season, without any lockdown restrictions, as per the industry reports, the January to June AC market domestic is close to about 6 million units as against pre-pandemic levels of 4.25-4.5 million units in H1 calendar year 2019. The industry is expected to cross 8 million in this calendar year versus 6.4 million units in FY 2022 and 7.2 million units in FY 2020. This signifies that the pent-up demand is coming back into the system despite the inflationary pressures. From 1st July 2022, new energy rating rules for air conditioners have been implemented. We expect smooth transition to new table, providing more energy-efficient products to the industry. I am pleased to share that our performance stands out even when compared to quarter one FY 2019 and quarter one FY 2020, which was the last comparable first quarter when business and economic activity were at normal levels. Even when we compare the full fiscal year 2020 with trailing 12 months ended on 30th June 2022, our revenue has increased from 3,963 crores in FY 2020 to rupees 5,324 crores in trailing 12 months ended on 30th June 2022. On the operating profitability, we have clocked 377 crores in operating EBITDA in trailing 12 months ended on 30th June 2022 versus 326 in FY 2020. The quarter, however, continued to bring challenges related to inflation, rising interest rates, and foreign exchange fluctuations. The industry, however, witnessed some softening of raw material prices, but it still continues to be higher than the pre-pandemic levels. During the quarter, we were able to pass on the commodity price increase to our customers. That happens with a quarterly lag as a standard industry phenomenon. Despite challenges, we are enthusiastic about the prospects for FY 2023. Due to strong order book and things has become normal post-pandemic and softening of commodity prices. On the new greenfield facility, Sri City facilities will be operational in the second half of this fiscal year 2023. We expect to start our trial runs in mid of September this year and commercial production start by mid of December 2022. We have been able to improve our market share and client wallet share because of our commitment to being a one-stop solution provider, a comprehensive and integrated solution provider for our customers. Our market share in value terms at OEM manufacturing level has increased from 21.2% in FY 2018, the year when we got listed, to 26.6% in FY 2022. Now moving on to the divisional performance. In Room AC Division, RAC Division has grown by 138% in Q1 FY23 over Q1 FY22. Our volumes and revenues grew in tandem with the industry during the quarter. In the fiscal year 2022-23, the industry is anticipated to surpass 8 million units, indicating a robust demand from consumers. On the commercial side, we have added new products for commercial ductable ACs as well as cassette ACs, which we have started to offer to our existing customers now. In the motors division, motor division has grown by 131% in Q1 FY23 over Q1 FY22. We have increased our product offering to our customers by adding new models for both the domestic and international markets. BLDC is currently a very small part of portfolio we have recently started. Reliability cycle is going on and we are about to start the mass production. So we see that this BLDC would be adding as revenue from both side in captive as well as also on the component solution to our customers. Having strong order book due to addition in new products, new customers and new geographies and expected to grow by more than about 30% in FY23. About the electronics division, which includes Iljin and Ever, this division grew by 254% in Q1 FY23 over Q1 FY22. We have added new big customers through brownfield expansion in South India. As informed earlier, we have added Boat as our customer and have started supplies for new age applications like smart wearables and hearables. This is a large business segment which is growing at a fast pace. Our supply to Boat opens up a large sectoral opportunity for Amber. We expect to see this segment grow at a faster pace in coming years. We are also expanding this division into a new verticals, new applications moving forward. On the components division, which includes AC and non-AC components, our components division grew by 218% in Q1 FY23 over Q1 FY22. Our components division has played a very positive role in our growth. We are adding new products, new customers and new geographies in this segment. Amber PR and Parvartaka, which are the two new acquired entities, are witnessing increased traction on both of cross-selling to existing customers, and it is expanding its manufacturing footprint now in the western region and southern region respectively. The mobility application division grew by 91% in Q1 FY23. We have onboarded new customers who are global leaders. We are now developing new products for multiple business categories. We've added products to cater to steel plants. To further serve our existing customers, we are developing new products to increase our wallet share in the railways and metros. And our order books today stand healthy at more than 625 crores. To sum up, we believe that all our business engines are at sweet spot to grow multifold from here. RAC and components division is expected to grow faster than the industry growth rate in this financial year 23. Motors division is expected to grow more than 30% in current financial year 23. Electronics division is expected to grow more than 35% in FY23. Mobility application division is expected to grow more than 15% in FY23. And our new acquisitions, Amber PR and Parvartaka, are on a growth path to deliver more than 25% in this fiscal FY23. We also expect that our ROCE to improve significantly from current levels and is expected to be in the range of 17 to 20% in the next 2 to 3 years' time. The expected improvement in ROCE is despite investments in the growth capex. I will now take you through the consolidated financial highlights. On the revenue, Q1 FY23 revenue stood at Rs. 1826 crores versus 708 crores in Q1 FY22. On the operating EBITDA side, Q1 FY23 operating EBITDA stood at Rs. 131 crores versus Rs. 50 crores in Q1 FY22. Operating EBITDA margins for Q1 FY23 and Q1 FY22 stood at 7.2% and 7% respectively. Quarter 1 FY23 and Quarter 1 FY22 operating EBITDA does not include ESOP expense of rupees 5.29 crores and rupees 3.26 crore respectively. On the PAT, Quarter 1 FY23 PAT stood at rupees 43 crores versus rupees 11 crores in Q1 FY22. All divisions are ready to take advantage of multiple opportunities. Our goal is to capture the bulk of the RAC and the component market share. We feel that this opportunity will boost our position in the domestic market while also providing solid foundations for exports moving forward. And on the net working capital days, we have been able to reduce it from, on a console level, from 76 to 37 days in the comparative quarters. Thank you very much, and now I open the desk for the Q&A session.
Thank you very much. We'll now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Participants are requested to ask two questions per participant. If time permits, please come back in the question queue for a follow-up question. The first question is from the line of Aditya from Investec. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, Jasbir.
Good morning, Aditya.
Hi. My first question is on some of the one-off costs that we had in this quarter. Could you provide the split between forex loss, loss on sale of fixed assets, and the write-off on the fixed asset side that we are having? And simultaneously, if you could also explain the nature of forex MTM loss.
Sure. Yeah. I think I'll ask Sudhi to answer this question.
Yeah. Hi, Aditya. Good morning. So on the forex loss, we have a MTM loss of around 23 CR in the quarter one. And on the ESOP impact, what we have spoken is 5.29 CR. And on loss on sale of fixed assets is around 52 lakhs. And it is total is around 79 lakhs. And also there is a M2M on the bonds, which was that got adjusted in the interest income. That is around 1.95 crores.
Understood. And this MTM loss on forex that we are having is mainly on payables?
On payables and buyer's credit as well. And this will get adjusted in the future quarter in the form of price increase, which will take on the quarterly lag basis from the customers.
Understood. My second question is on Sidwal, wherein we have seen a very, very strong growth in revenues in quarter one. What has that really been on account of, and in terms of new custom additions, product additions, if you can just spill out in a bit more detail on that front?
So Aditya, as we explained in last few quarters, that we had added some marquee customers there, global players, who won new tenders from Indian government, from Ministry of Urban Development, and those trains now are almost ready to be dispatched. In fact, the first train which has come out day before yesterday for trial run on the Delhi Meerut new category of rapid rail transport system which has been supplied by Bombardier, that has got Sidwal's air conditioners in it. And we've also won some recycling of air conditioners businesses from Delhi Metro, which we have accomplished this quarter. And our AMC business has also grown significantly in this quarter. So all this is adding up to a robust growth in that division.
Understood. And lastly, sir, can you also share the volume numbers for this quarter?
So this quarter we have clocked a volume of 1.28 million this year, from April to June.
Would it be possible to just provide the proportion of window ACs within that?
I would restrict that because that has become a very sensitive data. You know, we have seen in past few of our customers taking that data and you know, they attempted a negotiation bid. So we've started it, that we have stopped sharing that data, you know. But yes, we have grown in tandem. I think we are expected, I am expecting that industry will do a number of somewhere between 28% to 30% this year on the growth perspective, and Amber this financial year is expected to outnumber the industry by at least 2% to 3% or maybe 4%, depending on how the last quarter goes. And primarily this outnumbering will happen because our gas charging customers have now you know, had last leg of starting manufacturing with us. So Sri City is also opening, where we are starting our manufacturing footprint, which will contribute very little, very little this fiscal year, because it will be starting in mid of December. But because of the new customer addition, we will be able to outnumber the industry in terms of volumes.
Perfect. That's great to hear. Thanks a lot, sir.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Dhananjay from ASK Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, congratulations on the excellent results. Would it be fair to assume, after taking out the exceptional, then your Q-on-Q would be a positive vis-a-vis what is reported? Q-on-Q would be a growth, your OPM versus what was reported as a negative?
You are talking about the operating margins?
Yes.
Yeah, it has been positive as compared to Q-on-Q basis.
Okay, sure. So after adjusting for it. These are, a few of the listed peers have also mentioned that they are now setting up capacity for ODM solutions for other players going ahead. And they themselves were initially consumers of other people. So now do you see that having an impact on us also?
Well, I mean, we don't see any competitive landscape getting changed because of these initiatives by other companies. I believe that you know, AC industry is heading towards a robust growth for coming decade, and there is certainly a room for you know, one or two more new players. But will they be able to offer the solutions in all the 23 geographies like Amber does? Will they be able to offer the solutions in the component space also, and that too also in 7 verticals in which Amber operates? That is yet to be seen. But you know, as far as the stickiness with the clients is concerned, I think Amber is offering a very very comprehensive and integrated solutions in different geographies of India. So, but yes, I mean, we welcome worthy rivals. So it's always good to have competitiveness in the market, which keeps you on toes.
Sure. And lastly, sir, in terms of the PLI, you mentioned that Q1 would have been the first quarter where we have started seeing some PLI benefits, and now we'll see that for the rest of the year. Would you really quantify that?
You see, we will not be able to quantify until the PMA agency certifies the PLI benefit. So that will happen on the yearly sales. So we have already crossed our threshold of investment last year. We are eligible for the incremental sale benefit this financial year, but we will apply for the benefit after closing of the financial year. And I expect that they will take another quarter or so, you know, to give us the certificate or author, you know, stamp, whatever the incentive becomes. So right now it's very difficult to assess that kind of a situation.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Sure. I'll come back in a little more. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Renu Baid from IIFL Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good morning, sir. I have 3 questions. First, if you can help us give some color on how has been the operating performance of the various subsidiaries, whether it's the Sibal Mobility or...
Renu, sorry, but there's a bit of disturbance coming. Can I request you to talk a little louder?
Yeah. Am I audible now?
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, Renu, you're audible.
Yeah. Yeah, hi. So my first question was if you could help us provide some insights into the operating performance of the various subsidiaries that we have, and how have they moved in terms of our targeted margins of double-digit levels.
Sure, Renu. Starting with the motors division, we have done 83.44 crores revenue as compared to 35.89 on Q1. And this 83.44 revenue brings operating EBITDA of 10.24. And then when we go to mobility applications, that has jumped from 49 crores to 94 crores. And with the at 94, the EBITDA stands at 25.77 crores. In the electronics division, we have jumped from 58 crores to 208 crores. This combines Ilgin and Ever together. And the operating EBITDA from minus 160 has come to 8.85 crores. And Amber PR and Amber Parvartka. So Amber PR, we have done 33 crore because there is no comparison with the last year quarter. We just acquired these entities. At 33, they have done 3.88 crores, which is about 12% EBITDA. And Parvartka has done 41 crores at 4.22 crores EBITDA. So all of the subsidiaries, if you see, have now almost touching or touched and crossed the double digit EBITDA numbers. And except the electronic division, which actually by nature the business is such. So we are on a growth path in all the six subsidiaries of Amber. And I expect that they continue to grow like that in coming quarters.
Sure. My second question was actually related to the electronic subsidiaries Ever and Elgin. If you see, there are a lot of activities happening in this space on the PCBA segment across various applications, not just for consumer products. And if we see some of the listed other unlisted peers which we have, including the ones which are looking to come to the market for IPO, their EBITDA margins seem to be in double-digit levels for PCBAs. So how should we compare or how should we benchmark our operating performance or margins of Ever Elgin with some of the other peers which will get listed in the coming months? And where do you see the gaps in terms of margin improvement?
You see, on one side, we have companies like Dixon to benchmark. On the other side, we have Sirma, which you are talking about right now, which is just about to launch. So yeah. Both the applications are very different. You know, we are catering to applications of consumer durables and wearable and hearables, which are generally a low EBITDA margin businesses. So Dixon and Ilgin and Ever will be almost in the same range.
Model in terms of assembly.
If you go for automobile sector or you go for defense or other sectors, then their EBITDA margins are certainly very different. Not even Sirma, I would talk about other companies which we know about, which are unlisted right now, which have which are aspiring to be listed very soon. Those operate in range of 12 to 14%. So what we are doing at Ilgin and Ever is that, first of all, when we took over these companies, it was primarily a refrigerator and air conditioning solution provider, and only pure assembly.
Primarily to LG, correct.
Primarily to LG and IFB. There were only two customers. Now we have 18 customers in that division, and we are also coming up with a third factory in South India, which will be operational in next 2 to 3 months. That is on the rented premises. That is under installation right now. So what we are doing is, apart from expanding our customers in the consumer durable business, so we have started giving solutions from not only refrigerator and air conditioners, but we have gone to washing machines, microwave ovens, fans, water purifiers, and TVs. And now we have added another application which is hearable and wearable, and now we are adding telecommunication equipment also. So, which right now we have just onboarded a customer, we cannot name them. We will be able to let you know once the commercial production start with them. But that is again going to become a big business and also better margins from what we are today. So it is a mix and match of various applications which will increase the margins going forward in these subsidiaries.
So probably from a 2 to 3 year perspective, you think the electronics business can target a near double digit margin for us, given the mix that we have, 9-10%, or probably that looks elevated.
You see, if we are successful in getting the applications where EBITDA margins are generally higher, of course it can hit that number. But if you want me to guide the numbers, I'll not be able to guide it.
perspective, Isha, I'm not looking for specific guidance. Second, if we look at the core RAC market, as in the offtake seems to be reasonably fine, but pricing pressures in the industry continue. So what would be your outlook in terms of the pass-through of the cost escalation that we have seen? Is that transmission happening as expected? And resulting, should we expect the margin for the core RAC portfolio to improve, given that these cost pass-throughs will be there? And simultaneously, any comments on channel inventory would be an add-on. Thank you.
It's now room AC sector has entered into, off-season quarters. So this Q2 and Q3 are off-season for the quarters. And, then second headwind, apart from the inflationary pressure, the second headwind was the B table change in the middle of, the year, which is 1st of July. Normally, it used to happen in 1st of January. Now, what used to happen was that dealers used to pick up inventories in anticipation of forthcoming season that they can sell it in a month or two. But now, since we have, the cycle has reversed this time. So, there's a bit of lag in the industry right now as far as the July month is concerned, but August seems to be quite normal. I don't think so anybody is carrying a lot of inventory now. It is completely at a normal level right now. Industry was very conservative while planning, and industry was surprised by the pent-up demand which came up. I think the CAGR of double-digit growth will be continued from this year onwards. On the price pressures, yes, some of the brands are still facing up price pressures. Some of the brands have been able to pass on. So it's a mix and match from there on. But as far as our contracts goes, it is basically supported by the price variation clause applicability, which we go now. What happened last year, last quarter was, there was a last to last quarter, there was a price increase. And last year, last quarter also, again, there was an increase. But then in June and by middle of June, we all saw that commodities started easing off. But it did not ease off to the pre-COVID levels. So probably if the commodities continue to be where it is today, I think there should be slight margin improvement going forward in quarter three, quarter four onwards.
Sure, but no pressures on you to reduce the prices and pass it on to brands at this point in time.
You see, it's a right. I think it's a right of every purchaser to ask for price increase reductions from us. But it depends totally on whether we are in a position to do it or not. But we as a company, there's a very fundamental policies laid down on that front, and we don't want to bring the growth based on the margin depletion kind of a thing. So we are wary of that. Of course, in some of the companies, some of the customers, there is zero follow-up also. It is automatically a understood phenomena, and they are all more than 70-year-old companies. So it's autumn. They have seen so many cycles of inflationary pressures in past also. So it's a complete, I would say, the commodities or currency exchanges are passed on without any follow-up with them. So that's how the industry works. So I think as far as we are concerned, we are not facing any pressures right now from the industry.
Got it. Thanks much, sir, and all the best. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Sonali from Jefferies India. Please go ahead.
So thank you for the opportunity. So my first question is again an extension of the question on the demand. Now, I think the industry has taken cumulatively about 10 to 15% price hikes in the past 12 months. So is it fair to assume that there is some deceleration in the demand, especially for higher price point items such as the air conditioners? And also with the new BEE norm being effective from 1st of July, what is the quantum of price hikes that you think that the industry will take going forward?
Sonali, if you see, industry has already demonstrated witnessed more than 20% growth, despite of all the price increases which has taken place. So that means that this product is actually linked with a lifestyle product rather than somewhere where it is a price point. There are, I mean, I'll be, you'll be surprised to know that there are shortages right now for some of the premium products in the market. If you want a 5-star inverter today of some of the brands, it is available at 10 days kind of a notice, not off the shelf. You know, some of the VRV units are available at more than a month's basis right now. You know, so, but having said that, I mean, some of the brands are still keeping inventories. But from my opinion is that industry is operating at a very normal inventory level. There is nothing, no point to worry about that. And markets and retail has already digested the price increase, which has come. So there has, we have seen impacts on the price increase in earlier quarters when, you know, there was a lot of resistance from retail side to accept that. And that's a natural phenomena whenever such kind of a price increase happens, which is unprecedented, you know, retail definitely gives a back pressure. But that got over after the summers, you know, and during the summers, everything passed out and brands were able to, you know, liquidate their inventories. And on the BE table, you know, July month was a little bit a lag month because there was a slowdown because everybody, some of the brands, they had already shifted to new BE table from 1st of January. Some of the brands shifted right now, so they saw a little bit lag. But I think from August, mid of August onwards, we are seeing the order book again coming back to normal. So I would, my estimate, rough estimate is that industry should cross 8 million plus. And somewhere we should be landing in the range of 8.2 to 8.4 million this financial year.
Understand.
Of course, a lot depends on the quarter four. I mean, of course, if the winters get extended, this number may change. But as of now, the run rate, I think that this number is achievable.
Understand, sir. So what is the incremental quantum of price hikes that you foresee the industry to take post the new implementation of BEE?
So in BEE, you know, there is an impact from somewhere about 800 rupees to 1200 in the range of that, you know, per model. So, you know, 1-ton model will attract about 800, 750 to 800 and 5-star 2-ton will be having about 1250 odd rupees change. So that is the range of the increment. It's not a very big number on a 35 or 40,000 product category.
Understand. So, and my second question is regarding your mix. Now, components has been a fast-growing segment for you all. So, say about 3 to 5 years from now on, what is the perceived mix between RACs and components in your overall sales?
Well, we are endeavoring that this split should come to 50-50 level. I think we are touching those numbers in some of the quarters. That is our endeavor to bring components and other businesses to a complete 50% level and RAC at a 50% level. Now what further we are attempting is that RAC and RAC business, I mean RAC as a finished good plus RAC components, to bring that vertical at a 50% level. So which is right now at about 72%. So, you know, that is our endeavor moving forward for next 4 years time. So other businesses are catching up. You will see a lot of momentum in those businesses and we are gearing up accordingly.
Sure, sir. And last question from my side, the CAPEX guidance, please.
On the CAPEX, we still would be maintaining the same guidance what we gave last time. So 400 crore is what we are investing this financial year, out of which some part is going into greenfield facility at Sri City, which will be getting over right now. And we are under discussion right now for a two major expansion with customers. If that goes through, then we will be investing somewhere about 150 crore more in this quarter. But that is subject to the approvals, which we will come to know by end of August or maybe mid of September. And that's it from on the CAPEX side. Next year, there is no requirement on the new greenfield facilities. It will be just a normal R&D CAPEX and maintenance CAPEX, and few subsidiaries are expanding next year. So next year, we expect it to be in the range of 150 to 175 crores.
Thank you. Sorry to interrupt you, Solani. I'll request you to come back in the question queue for a follow-up question. I request to all the participants, please restrict to two questions per participant. If time permits, please come back in the question queue for a follow-up question. The next question is from the line of Bhoomika Nair from DAM Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sir. You know, just wanted to touch upon the margin aspect. If you see, a lot of the brands are actually putting up their own, you know, facilities in the south. From that perspective, and given our own plant will come in, do you think there will be, you know, margin pressure as we move ahead, given that fixed cost for the industries will, for the industry will actually increase? And to that extent, what kind of an impact it can have on our ability to take price hikes?
Good morning, Bhoomika. In fact, you know, if you see the manufacturing footprint right now in our sector, there are about 16 manufacturing companies, out of which 11 are brands. And those brands are having factories, not from now on, but they are having factories since last couple of decades. And we are supplying components to them. So nothing on the competitive landscape is changing for us when the brands are investing in their expansion in the factories in the South India. You know, in fact, that becomes an opportunity for us to supply them the components which they are not putting up. Just to give an example, you know, like whenever a brand put up a factory, they generally put up assembly lines and labs plus heat exchanger lines, and some of them they add injection molding and sheet metal. None of them is putting up motor plants. None of them are coming up with the inverter PCB boards, and some of them are not putting up sheet metal facilities, some are not putting up cross flow fans. So there is a lot of opportunity for companies like us to give them. In fact, they are very supportive right now. They are very happy that we are starting our Sri City plant ahead of them, you know, so we will be able to give some components to them as we are giving right now. Coming on the margin side of it, you see, we are a B2B company, and B2B company is an extension of manufacturing arm of our customers. So now, whenever that happens, you know, it is actually run by a guided principles. And in case a brand is manufacturing on their own, any kind of commodity increase or currency impact comes on them also. So, in fact, with these kind of customers who have manufacturing plants on their own, you know, they are very practical in approach. They also know that this is a standard part. We cannot reduce or give the commodity increase portion to them in case it comes to us. It has to be passed on, and they have further to pass on to clients in the markets. So, in a B2B organization, it's a standard part that you have to continue touching base with the customer in case the commodities prices are going in the north direction, and in case it is going to the south direction, they have to continue talking to us. so that's the cycle that goes on. So I think we have seen our 2 decades journey till now. A lot of competitive landscape has changed, and we have been able to pass on commodity increases on a quarterly lag basis every time. I don't think so that fundamentally there's going to be a change there, you know.
Okay, sure. So that's helpful. So the other thing, the second question is on exports. We were looking at exports, and we started seeing some traction in the Middle East. If you can just talk a little more on, you know, what is the status of the same? Where are we? Have we started getting orders, and how do we see that scale up over the next few years?
Yeah, in Middle East, we are actually started penetrating in a small numbers. We had already supplied some units last year, and this year also we expect to do about 3 lakh units this year, coming quarter and so. We are also attempting to penetrate now in the US markets. Our products are ready, and we expect that our energy labeling part will get over in FY23. And by maybe FY24, we should be able to clock some small revenues from finished goods side. As far as motors is concerned, that is going very well. We have already started getting repeat orders from US markets and Middle Eastern markets. And now we have added BLDC product, which was not available with us. So that will also go. In fact, we are also attempting to export cross-flow fans from here through our new acquired entity as a solution provider in the motor and the fans side. I would like to reiterate that exports is a long-term strategy, it's not a short-term strategy. So the significant impact on exports should be visible in the balance sheet maybe 3 to 4 years from now.
Sure, sir. So lastly, if I may just squeeze in the gross debt and the net debt numbers as at quarter end.
I'll ask Sudhir to answer that question. Sudhir.
So on a net debt position, so on at a consolidated basis, we have around 625 crores of a net debt, and gross debt is around just a sec. Gross debt is around 1300 crores.
Got it, sir. Thank you so much, and wish you all the very best.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Nikunj Gala from Sundaram Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good morning, everyone. So I have just a need understanding on the forex loss which you mentioned this quarter. So here, just want to understand as a business policy, we don't hedge, right? Our the forex exposure.
No, we hedge the position at around 25 to 30% on a short-term basis, and
okay.
Whenever there is a like large impact, we see and we discuss with the various people, and we increase it to 50% level as well, depending
okay.
upon the scenario.
Okay, so whatever unhedged position, we have taken the loss of 23 crores, right?
M2M. No, no, it's the M2M. It is not a realized number. It is a M2M
okay.
because we need to like reinstate the all the liabilities at a closing rate.
Okay, sure. And I think one of the comments you mentioned, you will recover this from the client. Is that understanding correct, like in the coming quarters, if that rectifies then?
Yeah, it happens that in the next quarter's costing, since
huh?
we have inventory lying up with us, and that gets valued at a last quarter's average commodity prices as well as the foreign currency rate. So that gets adjusted in the coming quarter's selling price.
Okay, sure. So, and just one point on this, if I look at the FY19 numbers, so FY19 was the year where the, the currency depreciation was also sharp. For the year, it was 8%, and in between, in one of the quarter, it was 9%. So how was that accounted during that time?
So during that time also, we were able to recover that depreciation in the future quarter sales. And M2M loss is also always covered under the foreign currency fluctuation in the other expenses.
Okay, so similar kind of accounting was done in other expense during that time also.
Yeah, there is no change in the any accounting policy since so many years.
Okay, sure. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Next question is from the line of Pulkit Patni from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Sir, thank you for taking my questions. And sir, just one suggestion, what previous participant asked, I think it's from a disclosure perspective, if you can just print out the forex every quarter, it helps us look at margins more objectively. So my question is, firstly, in the previous quarter, you mentioned there were certain fixed cost under recovery because of certain new facilities started which were not contributing. Given that we still have, the Sri City facility coming in the second half of this year, in the current quarter also, do we have some fixed costs which have not been fully recovered? I'm just trying to understand the sustainable margin for the business.
Yes, they still, those newly started entities are not at a full capacity level. They did the business in quarter one. So we need to wait for those plants which have started in the last year, last quarter. They will be operational in a full capacity in the current year. But yes, there will be again new entity which is coming up in the H2, which is Sri City. There will be a small impact on the fixed cost in the first year, but from 23-24, you will see that full year business and no lag of the fixed cost will be there going forward.
Understood.
Full year, you will see some of the fixed costs are more because of the new plants we have started it.
Got it, sir. Sir, also on Sidwal, our order book is one of the highest, if not the highest in my recent memory. Can you just, for modeling purpose, help us understand what will be the time period in which we can exhaust this 625 crore kind of an order book? Is it 4 quarters, 5 quarters?
Well, generally, metro and train orders are extended towards close to about 18 to 20 months period. We expect Sidwal to deliver 15% to 20% range growth this year, looking at the current run rate, what's there. But order book is strengthening. I think the portfolio is getting extended because we are not only adding air conditioners, but we have started delivering more products. We have increased our wallet share also within the same customers, be it railway or metro or other applications which we are delivering. Some defense orders have also come in. So it's moving very positive from that perspective.
Got it, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Madhav from Fidelity International. Please go ahead.
Hi, hi. Good morning. Thank you so much for your time. I just wanted a couple of questions. And the first one was basically we mentioned about having this 150 crore capex for two customers in terms of like an expansion. Could you help us understand a bit more of the nature of these expansions? Like, are we putting up a capacity near their facility or what's happening there? Just wanted to understand that.
Yeah, Madhav, good morning. So we are right now under discussion for a brownfield expansion near to the customers. And these are going to be customers of component sector. And that is what is under discussion. So I think by next quarter or so, we'll be able to freeze. Right now, it is moving positive with them. In case it happens, it will help us in good sales in next financial years.
These are RAC customers?
These are consumer durable customers, both RAC and other consumer durables.
And my second question was that you mentioned about 3 lakh units of exports that can happen. Was that for finished good RAC or was that for some motor or other components?
No. So motors we are doing slightly more. Motors, I think the number is moving positive. 3 lakh is something which we did last year in motors. This year we are expected to do 500,000 or more motors. In case of RAC, 3 lakhs are not sets. I have spoken about units. So we are attempting to do that numbers. Let's see, how it goes.
But, sir, even 3 lakh units on a RAC side, I think it's a good number, right? Like, on our base of, let's say, 2.6 million units that we did in FY22, if we can do 0.3 million extra just from exports, that's a good bump up for us, isn't it? Or am I missing something?
Yeah, so we are attempting it right now. We are talking with the customer. There are positive notes going on, but it can spill over to next financial year also, depending on the energy rating process, because that's quite a long process. But that order book is getting frozen. Maybe very soon we'll be able to freeze that order book, but we'll see. There are certain milestones when a customer freezes the order book. First of all, the prototyping has to happen and then the B norm has to apply. Now, if that goes fine, then that supplies will happen. Now, will that 3 lakh number come this year? That's very difficult to state.
So, which is completely okay as long as the business is trending in that direction that we can get that order, but this is the Middle East, is it? The 0.3 lakh units that we're talking about? This fiscal or next fiscal?
No. So it's a Middle East and South Africa region and US, all put together.
Understood. No, that's really helpful. Okay, perfect. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitin from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, Jasbir.
Morning, Nitin. How are you?
Good. Ask one question that you say that this year will most likely do closer to about the industry will do about 8.2 million pieces. So let's say FY23 to 25, India gets closer to something like 10 million pieces, and for room air conditioners. So what kind of a market share that you are targeting? Let's say revenue market share you are targeting from 10 million RAC market in India. Do you have enough capacities for that after present year capex? So just trying to connect the massive revenue potential from the capacities that you have and the market share that you are doing, taking from the 10 million AC opportunity?
So Nitin, if you see today on the value term perspective, what we are offering, you know, to the industry, we have about 26.6% market share on the value terms.
Yes.
Which, right. So that is based on the number of about 7 million. Now, when it inches towards the 10 million mark, I think we should be able to expand our market share by at least 200 bips or maybe more, because we are expanding into components more now on the value terms, and we do not, would not need any kind of a capex for 10 million mark, at least on the assembly part of room air conditioners. We may need little slight capex for the component side. Now that will depend on how we move ahead, whether heat exchangers are required or inverter PCB boards are required. But on a value term basis, I think we should be able to maintain or grow our market share if it inches towards the 10 million mark.
So basically, you're looking at something like a 29% market share on 10 million pieces. And industry should be roughly at what, 23,000 rupees per set at that time, do you think? Or 24,000 rupees? Is that the right way to look at it?
No, no, no. In the bill of material side, I think it should be little less. If you talk today on the bill of material side, it is roughly at around 19,000.
Okay. And do you think price inflation will happen on this 19,000 by about 5% because of all the effects of BEE, premiumization, etc.? Or do you think it roughly stays here at 19,000 to 19,500
BEE? Very difficult to predict, because now I don't think so that for next 3 years BEE will be changing the table. So from BEE impact, I don't think so it will come. But inflationary point is very difficult to predict, but we can definitely take 3 to 5% range for inflation every year.
Second question was about the Japanese. See, a lot of Japanese are putting up captive manufacturing capacities, and they're also thinking of India as a export base. They have global technology parentage and backing also, let's say whether it's Hitachi or Daikin. So help us understand that, you know, how, what is your competitiveness, strength or weakness versus these Japanese, and how you can work with Japanese either as a strategic player at some point in time, or you don't need that?
So if you see, Nitin, we are working with most of the Japanese clients. We have Panasonic, we have Daikin, we have Hitachi, we have Mitsubishi, Toshiba, Fujitsu General. So we are working with most of them, and they do take a lot of time to onboard a B2B solution provider like us.
Yes.
We have been able to, you know, penetrate and give them solutions, and now we are increasing our wallet shares as we move ahead. And yes, you are right. Some of the Japanese companies, I cannot name them, but they are thinking to shift geographies of exports from India. And, you know, that 3 lakh number, actually, which I said, is going to happen. Part of that will happen through them also. So it depends on how we are, I mean, they are likely to shift some. And even our government of India is wanting now, since the dedicated export council is getting set up at the various positions in government, you know, there is going to be a very, very focused approach from government also to convince multinational companies to shift their geographies. In fact, that is the lowest hanging fruit in our sector now. And if we are able to convince some of the multinationals, especially Japanese and Koreans, to shift their even small numbers, it will actually help expand the manufacturing footprint in India, where a company like us is well positioned to take advantage of that.
Okay. So you're saying that when you give that indication of exports, roughly you could be working through the Japanese company, helping them with components or assembling on their behalf so that they export their brand from India, is it?
Well, I don't want to state the nationality of the customer, but yes, they are multinational companies which we are working. It may be a direct export also. So, the agenda is to export, whether direct or indirect, doesn't matter.
Yeah, get the point. Thank you. I think this is enough for me. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Hitesh from ICICI Direct. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. I have two questions. One is on the import front. The government has put up a ban on import of a full gas-filled AC. So, have you seen any reduction on the imports of the AC, sir, in the last 2 years? Earlier, I think it was around 3,000 to 4,000 crore of import.
So, roughly about 2 million units were getting imported in FY19, and then September 20 was when the gas ban was impacted. After that, we have seen 88% reduction in the finished goods category, and there are some few customers who are importing air conditioners minus gas. So nobody is able to bring the full finished good now. That has 100% been banned. There are few customers who are getting the kits, and we are likely to start getting ship those customers into manufacturing units in India. I think by next year there should be 95% reduction in the imports. If right now it is about 80% reduction.
Okay. Yeah. And sir, my second question is on the PLI front. You said like you're going to hit the threshold of the PLI revenue. So we have a PLI in the different category, different product category. So sir, could you please quantify what kind of threshold level is required to get the benefit for us?
See, there is we are eligible for 400 crore, 300 crore in number and 100 crore in Elgin, which is our electronic subsidiary. And this capex has to happen in 5 years, where the first year was the last year. So what the threshold of the capex has already been done, so that is a tick mark. Now we have to bring in 5 times the capex done last year, incremental sale this year. So that is also being done. So we don't see any hurdles achieving those numbers. And after that, we will get 6% on the incremental sales as a first year incentive. So, which will be the quantification of that will become evident by about it will be how much?
15 crores.
It will be approximately 15 crores for the first year.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. That's all from my side, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Gopal from SBI. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thanks a lot for the opportunity. So my question was on, there has been a lot of competition at the brand level, and many of these companies are in the this good season have reported negative margins. Do you expect consolidation of brands in this competitive environment?
Well, very difficult question to answer because, you know, we are a B2B player. We are not in the marketplace. There are many brands listed on the BE website. If you see, those are people who are selling air conditioners, more than 50 of them. Yes, but yeah. The market is already consolidated. 80% of that goes through 10 or 12 players, you know, so 75% to 80% is catered by them. Maybe moving forward, once the industry touches about 2 crore, 3 crore air conditioner, we should see some kind of consolidation. But right now, it is too early a stage for consolidation.
Yeah, reason was, basically we are also supplying to a lot of these fringe brands. So will that have any impact on our volumes or have we seen any impact on those brands in our volume share?
See, we have seen market shares getting exchanged between brands in last 2 decades.
Okay.
And we are a solution provider to the industry. I mean, if someone merges one company with another one or someone buys someone out, they changes their market shares. But since we are supplying to most of the brands, I think we should not be affected at that point of time. In past also, when we have seen today Voltas is the leader, last 10 years back somebody else was the leader, but we were when the market shares dropped of that brand, we continued to grow because we were giving solutions to Voltas also and to others also who were having the market shares increases.
Sure, sir. The second question is on the gross margin for standalone business. is there any one-off on the gross margin or there is no one-off in the gross margin?
There is no one-off in the gross margin.
So basically in the last quarter call, we suggested that, that this pass-through of cost will, majority of that will happen in the next quarter, which was like, current quarter. And so we used to, do a gross margin of 14-15% and it is still hovering around 10.5-11%. So, and again, we are going for next 2 week quarters. So how we are going to recoup this loss on the gross margin?
Increase in the commodity prices, which happened in the quarter four of the previous financial year, that was not eased out in the quarter one. Rather, there was a further increase in the month of April and May. So that is why there is no decrease in the EBITDA gross margins. And if you see that, let's assume there is a 85 rupees of a RMC on a 100 rupees selling price, and if 10 rupees is increased in the raw material prices to 95, and we increase the selling price by 10 rupees, 110, so 15 or 110, in percentage term, it always looks depressed. And in a reverse cycle, whenever there is a ease out of the commodity prices, you see a percentage margin increase in the gross margins. So since commodity prices are not eased out, rather they were stable at that point of time in the month of April, but rather further increased it. So that is why there is no ease out in the percentage terms of gross margin.
Okay, sure. So when it declines, and so it should reverse basically.
Once it declines to the previous level, then it will you will see a better gross margin in percentage terms.
Okay. So, sure, the last bit on the, ESOP charge. So if you can just give some color on why we are, differentiating it as a separate line item, not part of EBITDA.
See, we are differentiating it since it's a non-cash item for us, as it is not impacting our cash flow. That is why okay. We are showing it as a separate line item.
And this like 15 to 20 crore range, this will continue every year?
No, it will steadily going down if we don't come up with a new ESOP scheme. Because
okay.
First year it is always a higher impact on the P&L, and in the next 2-3 years it gets declined.
Okay, sure sir. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraint, that will be the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you everyone for joining on the call. I hope we have been able to address all your queries. For any further information, kindly get in touch with Manish or Strategic Growth Advisors or Investor Relations Advisors. Thank you and have a good day ahead.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Amber Enterprises Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.